It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. Now for a quick disclaimer, all of the information and views shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions you have regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions.
Routines give you so much security for yourself. You can do this also when you have a presentation or when you're nervous, and go over it in your mind, because this is also a big thing that we do. Mind runs in sliding sports is essential.
If you're interested in learning how to optimize your mindset, you're going to absolutely love today's episode with Olympian Katie Barrel. Katie is an Austrian bobsleigh Olympian. She participated in the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics and took 10th place. She also won the overall World Cup in 2020/2021. We're going to be talking about how to navigate those really intense high-pressure situations, how to support peak performance, how to have a mindset for success, and also how to navigate your well-being while going after your goals. I'm so excited about this episode. Let's welcome Katie to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's also a quite unique experience for myself.
So you are joining me all the way from Austria, which I'm so excited about. And we were talking a little bit before, like I used to go to Austria while I was growing up because my dad's parents were born there. So I just am so thankful that we're able to connect. And I'm so excited to hear about your experience. I would love to start with talking about how you got into bobsleigh or bobsledding, depending on how you say it. And just to kind of start with that and how that kind of led you to now just being in the 2022 Olympic Games.
Yeah, like how I got into bobsleigh is quite a funny story. My parents were track and field athletes. My mom a hurdler, my dad a hammer thrower. So I basically grew up on the track and field ground. When I was six, I started everything there. And then I did hurdling for quite a while. Then this was all in the, near to Vienna. It's in the eastern part of Austria. And then I moved for my university, my law studies, to Innsbruck, which is quite west. There, I wanted to start track again. And I didn't really like the group. So they were like, oh, yeah, if you don't like it here, go to the bobsleigh people. They're always looking for someone. So next day, I called the national coach. And that's how I somehow scouted myself and started driving a bobsleigh.
My gosh. So how old were you then?
I was 19.
Okay, got it. So you were 19. Now, is bobsleigh a big thing in Austria? Is it something that's really common? Did you have friends who were doing it?
No, it's like, because it's so expensive. For example, one sled costs about 50,000 euros.
Is it 50?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, 50,000. Like my car, three times my car. And so that's why it's not a lot of people doing it. But even though people know it in Austria, it's like everyone knows it from watching the Olympic Games, and winter sport itself, especially skiing, is quite important for the people in Austria. So they know what it is. I also kind of knew what it is because my father used to do it 2 years somewhere. I don't know the details by now, but like I haven't had any friends that did this. I just went like into the cold water at the push track. I still remember it till today. I felt a bit weird because I didn't know anyone and not what to do. And they just say it's somehow in the forest. Go there, you will hear where it is because it's like on the rails. So you hear it when they're pushing. And that's where I went to like, hi, I'm Katya. I'm not pushing.
Wow. Okay. So from what I've seen, I'm watching videos of it. And then from the movie, the Cool Runnings, I forget the exact name of it. Do you remember the name of that movie?
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. Okay. So it looks really intense. You have to run, you have to sprint, you jump into the bobsleigh, and then you're zooming down this course. So were you nervous? Like the first time you did it, were you excited? How did you feel?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I started with a monobob, so at least I didn't have a second person in my sled, which was a big pressure when I started to do this. But it was more like, okay, you have no idea what it is like. They tell you, okay, well, you go from the lady start, which is like 5 curves more down than the top start. They say you will go like 70, 80, 90 kilometers an hour. I'm sorry, I don't know how fast
this is.
And you're like, okay, in this curve, you're still left. Then you're still right. At this point, okay. And then you just listen. You have no idea because there is nothing where you could try it. And then you just go down there. And it's like, okay, it was weird. Felt somehow like you think that it's in a washing machine because it's just like bumping and hitting. But the first year was the hardest regarding to my body because you're just driving so bad. It's like you're hitting every wall. My shoulders were bruised that the doctor stopped me for a week. They were like, it's too big. You have to stop. But it gets way better like when you're a better pilot. So now it's more like, oh, if I go down the Eagles track in Innsbruck for 5-6 runs, it's not a problem at all, which would have nearly killed me a few years ago.
Wow. So you are driving this. It's, in my mind, I see it like you're driving down a roller coaster. You know, you're steering.
Yeah.
But is that like, what does it feel like? Is it a rush? Like you're going down a roller coaster or does it feel like you're going down a slide? Or, I mean, you described it like you're in a washing machine. So that doesn't sound very comfortable, but and how does it feel? And now that you're better, I'm sure it's a much more enjoyable experience too.
Definitely. Yeah. It's not like a roller coaster because you're not having these zero G forces. Like we're going uphill, but even if you have this downhill, even if you have this uphill section, it's never the same experience like a roller coaster. And it's quite uncomfortable, especially for the person in the back. If you Google some POVs of the brakeman, you will see that they're just bumping around. I also have a video on my Instagram and my videos. So if you're interested in it, it's really like seeing what you never see on TV. For me, it's quite okay because I'm sitting, I would normally sit with the legs stretched out and I have rings like in my hands, which are connected to ropes to the steering. So if I move like left, my front runners go left. And if I go right, they go right. And so I have to be very stable with the rest of my body. I also have shoulder pads because the sleds are built for men and women are smaller so that you really like stuck in. And then because some of the tracks, it's like just this much of a steer, the hardest steer. And some tracks you like really have to pull. So, but yeah, it's like just the speed that you don't can't break is like exciting. But there is like, if you ask anyone, everyone says there's nothing you could compare it to. It's not a slide. It's not a roller coaster. It's just like bobsleigh.
Got it. Okay. So let's talk about getting into a mindset to be able to be successful in that kind of environment. So you trained, it sounds like you did, I'm assuming tons and tons of hours of training on this and, you know, injuries and recovering. And then, you know, you made it to the Olympics and you also had some great wins as well, where you won the World Cup. And I would love to hear about those experiences and more recent, the 2022 Olympics. Like, what is that like? How does that feel? How do you deal with those strong emotions and the pressure and everything that goes along with that, that I can only imagine? I can't even imagine.
All in all together, what you said is just about practice. Like even dealing with this emotional states of, for example, leading a race in the lower circuit in the Europa Cup or North America's Cup. This was like what I remember the first time. This was really tough. You know, the last one in the second run, because they go from worst to best in the second run, you're the last one in that start house. For the first time, you're just like nervous. But if you're nervous, that kills. If you will be nervous in a big event like the Olympic Games, you have no chance. So it comes with the experience. You have to be thrown into the cold water. We do have good psychologists that most of the pilots work with because it's such a mental game. I mean, it's a physical game, the start and the steering somehow, but you can ruin everything with not being ready in your mind. If it's not my day or if I just make silly mistakes, that the time is gone. It's such a small frame of the perfect line. And if you're nervous up there, it's not working. And I, for myself, over the years, developed with the races getting bigger and bigger, leading Europa Cup, then leading for Junior World Championships, going for European Championships medal. And last of all, being in the final of the overall World Cup with knowing you have to get not worse than sixth, which sounds quite easy, but if you're there, it's like, okay, you can fuck it up with just one bad curve the whole season. And so it's like,
pressure. Yeah,
there's a lot of pressure. Like everyone, you just, for yourself, it would not matter too much, but there are so many expectations from coaches, from the federation, from the family, not in a bad way, but they just want to see you succeeding. Yeah. So, but I developed in the years feeling of that it's just like totally cooled down. Also, that there are not many emotions for me racing. And I just really like that feeling when it's so cold outside at the start, you have just your race suit on. Then this is like, I've never in another situation in my life been that clear in my mind. So it has to be cold. It has to be the race day. I can just like my best runs, I can always just produce in the race. Like I can have bad training runs, but in the race, it's just like so much of excitement in your body, not in your mind, that helps you like adrenaline or running away. Then you're like widely awake. I think everyone knows this from some situation. And then you can perform. But it's also winning the overall World Cup for me was like, when I thought about two races before, how it would feel to win it, I was like, I would scream so hard. It would be so cool. But the moment I really went through the finish and I saw the right numbers there and I knew we had won it, because I had to put my feelings on such a low level, I didn't feel anything. Like it was just like, okay, cool. Because she just has to push and she was like all the emotions. And that's when I realized that how to suppress myself to be able to do this.
Wow. Okay. But then did you then allow yourself, like after you were out of that environment, to celebrate? Like, were you, when you were out of that environment, did you have that moment where you were like, yeah, I did it? You know, the celebration with family and friends, or was it still not as big or grand as what you were expecting?
Yeah, that, like you said, it was like never had such this huge party. It was COVID, so there was no party. And maybe if the night after, there would be a party to celebrate. Yes, but this is what I'm kind of missing. But I think I'm just talking for myself. I needed this level to perform that way we did. Like it's something that I really miss. But I see that if I watch it on TV, I see Jenny celebrating and me, they're like, yeah, cool. And then you get the trophy and everything. There's so much media, so much of everything. You don't have time for yourself somehow. And then it just went on with world championships where we were not that good. And then it was like, okay, the season's over.
I'm excited to share more of this conversation with you. But first, a quick word about our sponsor. This podcast episode is brought to you in collaboration with the National Sleep Foundation. It's time to be your best slept self. The National Sleep Foundation advances sleep health and well-being through education and advocacy. They've been studying and reporting on sleep for over 30 years. Sleep Awareness Week in 2022 is March 13th through the 19th, and every year NSF takes this time to re-emphasize the important connection between your sleep and your health. This year, they are helping you become your best slept self. Today, many Americans are not getting the sleep that they need to live their healthiest lives. The National Sleep Foundation's annual Sleep in America poll indicates that good sleep is within everyone's reach. The 2022 poll shows sleep is a process that starts long before bedtime and is influenced by key daytime activities, including light exposure, meal regularity, stress, and physical activity. Learn more at www.thenSF.org. Make sure to follow at Sleep Foundation on Instagram to learn more about the hashtag Best Slept Self giveaway for a bedroom makeover.
So interesting. It's, I think what it sounds like is you were in the zone, you know, and you were really mentally prepared. But then with all this stuff happening so quick, it's like you don't even have time to process it. You know, it's just like, it's sounds like it's kind of a surreal experience in a way where I think there's just so much going on.
Yeah, totally. Especially with no woman ever had won this in Austria. So everyone was like, this is sports history. Thank you. History was made. And you're like, I just did another race. Of course, it's good. But like you said, it's surreal. You just, it comes. And I realize, and I'm very proud of what Jenny and I achieved with this trophy. And it's like to see it and everything. Yeah, but it just comes later and later, but then not so intense. But you still have it.
I've chatted with a lot of, I'm just thinking about something that I've picked up on. So I've chatted with a lot of people who have done really great things. You're the first person that I've spoken with though, that's been in the Olympics on the show at least. And what I've found is that a lot of times, like in your mind, there's this idea of like how it's going to be when you achieve this goal. But for a lot of people, what can happen is you achieve that goal and then it's over. And okay, then what? So I think what I've heard from the feedback I've gotten is more about like enjoying the journey and the process, you know, because that moment is so quick. And so, you know, like for you, it sounds like it was just all this preparation. And then you're like, and then the next day things moved on and it's on to the next. I mean, I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This time it was not that hard. I was also in the 2018 PyeongChang Games. And when I started bobsleigh, or even when I started track and field, going to the Olympics was a very big goal of mine. My mom did it in 88 in long jump.
Did she?
Yeah. Wow. And her certificate was always on the toilet. So you see it every day.
I love it.
So you have to have this as a goal. And when PyeongChang was over, like you say, it was like, there was nothing. I didn't know if I can go into the military system or if I get money somewhere else, because until this point, I worked like 3 days a week and my parents paid me some money that I could do this. Luckily, I got a place in the military, which is like a system in Austria with military and police where they pay you to do sports. But at this moment, you come home and you're like, wow, okay, you reached was your biggest goal the last years. And now there's nothing, like you said. I mean, you have this every season somehow because there's so much going on. We're like traveling for 12, 13 weeks or longer, and you're always on the road. You're always, even if your roommates annoy you sometimes, you're like, you have them. If you want to talk to someone, you have the people around you. And now you come back home to make these sports. You can't have too many friends that you want to visit because they want to keep up with you and you're gone half of the year. So you're there. And they're like, okay, I have 2-3 good friends, but that's it. And that's a thing. Also, you see it on Instagram and the whole community of sliding sports. Nearly everyone deals with it and everyone has to find a way for it. And this time I was prepared. So I knew that this would come. And that's why I signed up for all the university courses. Like I'm studying law every summer. So I just try to keep myself moving with something. Yeah. Maybe I want to go on some vacation or planning, but I have to keep doing something because like you said, the journey is over, not forever because it will start again for the next 4 years. But for the moment, it's quite hard. And I think this is like to a lot of situations where people have goals.
Right. Yeah. And it sounds like it could be a really big challenge. So it's trying to figure out, like you said, where to put your energy into after that big achievement. And again, the feedback I've gotten from people is again, really focusing on the journey and less on that like specific end goal. It's great to have goals and to move towards them, but it's like put a lot of the enjoyment in like the progress and the day to day. Because like you said, that moment, you know, it's over and then it's okay, now what kind of a thing. But I would love to hear a little bit about strategies, suggestions, tips that you have for people who want to improve under pressure. Because this could be in any situation, whether you're in school and you have to give a presentation, or if you're at work and you're, you know, presenting to a group, or you're asking for a promotion, or you're an athlete, you know, it applies to everyone in the sense of, you know, there's going to be different things people go through that there's a lot at stake. So what suggestions do you have? I know you said before experience, so practice, but is that the main thing? Anything else that you've learned throughout your journey that may be able to help some others out there?
Yeah, I can just speak from my very small angle of life. I'm still nervous when I have to do bigger presentations, but it got easier after the years with having a lot of interviews and talking is not as hard as it was. So like experience helps, but of course you start at some point where you don't have experience. And what really helped me at the beginning, what I figured out with my psychologist was routines. So this is also what still gives me a lot of security at the start. So Jenny is my brakeman. I didn't mention that before. We always do the same thing. Not that it's that intense that you have to stick to it. And when something goes wrong, you're panicking, but just a small block that you can affect, like putting on your left shoe first in my case. And then every training, we do the same thing. Jenny puts the sled in, moves it forward. I clap on her back, ask her if we can go. And then we do the commands. Routines give you so much security for yourself. you can do this also when you have a presentation or when you're nervous, and go over it in your mind, because this is also a big thing that we do. Mind runs in sliding sports is essential. You don't have the chance to go down that much. It's like in a World Cup week, we have 6 training runs and 4 race runs, not more. And the rest, you go in a week, you go like 50 times through the track in your mind or wow. more. And you can do this with everything. It's like there's also Lolo Jones, she's an US brake woman. She had a very bad injury when she was still doing track and field. And in her book, she describes that how she could manage to uphold her, to keep her energy while just playing in her mind that she's running a hurdles race. And like it worked. And this is like what you can do everything, because your mind doesn't know if you really do it or not. As long as you really put your brain in that situation, you like, I sit down. Most of the time it works best when I'm nearly falling asleep, because then you're in a state of mind. Even when you fall asleep in between, it just helps. So you try to get yourself into the situation, and the often you live through it, the less scary it gets. So this is what I can tell the people. Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm curious too, if you did anything specific with your breath or muscle relaxation, anything like that, or was it more just focusing on the routine and the experience?
For sliding, definitely the routines, but I have some migraine problems, which makes it hard to me to relax. Like good in that excited state of mind, but then I have problems coming down. And that's where I worked with a team where we did stretching, very long stretches, like any kind of stretches. If you just Google some yoga positions that you feel good with and that you have the feeling with, there's so much sources on the internet, and you just like do this and you really try to focus on the moment and on your breath. It doesn't have to be a certain breathing thing. Maybe like there's so many things that tell you. For me, it was just like breathing. Try to have it slow and really listen to your body, and your thoughts will go somewhere else when you start. 100%. It works every day for me. I still overthink things, but just like try to be with yourself. And that's what I did. Plus something called biofeedback, where you really, maybe looks like you know it.
Yeah. I used to work in integrative psychiatry. So that was something I learned about. And there's, what did you use for biofeedback? Did you have a monitor, or how did you do it? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I was like in a wall, like there was a projector to a big wall, and I had most of the things, it was breathing or the temperature of my fingers to get them hotter, because the blood vessels open up when you have migraine. So if you manage to, well, you think you can also put a sensor here on these sides that it's cold on your head and your hands getting warmer, and you really see it that it works if you practice hard enough. And this is like an exercise that I never thought would work, but really works to help stop my migraine attacks. Not always, but it's getting more frequent.
Interesting. So you shared a lot of really great tips that I think can be applicable to a lot of different situations, the running through of the situation in your mind, the preparation. So this has been amazing. We are coming towards the end. Is there anything else that you would like to share before I ask a few fun questions for the wellness lightning round?
Oh yeah. I really like to help people if they have any questions, and just like for everyone to every situation, I've been through some hard situation. Was it coaches or injuries that stand in your way as a woman doing a man's sports? So maybe this is especially applicable to women. But if you have the goal or the thing that you want to do something, then you just should, no matter what everyone else is saying. I mean, this is like a 0-8-15 thing, but it's like, it's very important to keep this in mind. And if you want to do it, you should do it, because sometimes you will regret it afterwards. That's all.
I love it. Well, congratulations with all of your success and your future success as well, which you are doing such amazing things. So the first question I have for you for the wellness lightning round is, knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
To start training harder as soon as you go into the sports, and just like, don't worry so much about things. It will all be good at the end, or okay at the end, at least.
Love it. And then second question is, what is a self-care practice that you do on a regular basis for yourself?
To be honest, it's eating sushi and sleeping a lot.
Love it.
That's like, there's nothing more special, reading some good books and just enjoying being at my flat at home.
Love it. Got it. And then one last question for you is, you are on a deserted desert island and you can only bring three foods with you. And that's what you're going to eat the whole time. What would those three foods be?
Sushi, like I said before, some schnitzel, and salad, just green lettuce with vinegar and oil.
Love it. That sounds delicious. Well, thank you so much for taking some time today, sharing all of your insights. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps the show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential.